First John, the epistle of First John, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may also have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Amen. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
Amen.
Amen. Precious Lord, the word of life. We thank you, Father God, for the truth of the scriptures. We thank you, Father God, for giving us a heart to want to gather and fellowship with you. Father God, we ask right now that everything that we do and that we do in honor of you, and that we do in a way that gives you glory, because you are worthy of our praise, worthy of our worship, worthy of our lives glorifying you. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The Gospel of John, written to young people, fragile people, young in the Lord, troubled by constantly being told that God ain't real. Constantly being told that God is figment of your imagination. Constantly being told that, you know what, you keep on serving that God and he not doing anything for you, and you're going to go to hell just like everybody else. God ain't real. And John came to this church, came to this town, came to this city, and gave them the business about who God is and how we ought to respond to him and why we ought to give God glory. How about that? How about that? John called him in verse 1. He called him the word of life. The word of life. What comes to your mind when you hear someone say, he is the word of life? John also wrote in the gospel, he said, in the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word became flesh. How about that? I know I went over a few. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Here we see in John 1:1, he says, that which was from the beginning. How about that? I think Revelation calls him what? The Alpha and the Omega. Okay? That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon in our hands have handled of the word of God, of the word of life. What's happening here? They're being challenged. Anybody ever had a faith challenge? They're being challenged to prove it. Prove that Jesus Christ is real, that he is truly the Son of God, come down from heaven. Watch what they require. And there's some deep meanings to all these words, okay? John gives four. He gives four things that we ought to all get a good understanding of. And over the years, y'all have heard me talk about the word heard. That word heard means more than just going into your ear. You know, you heard firecrackers last night. You might have thought they was gunshot. And you hear all kind of stuff. That's not the real meaning of this word. Okay? This word to hear means an understanding. Okay? It means there's a understanding that you have. And because you understand something, you have a strong conviction. And you have an assurance of what you heard. Nobody's going to take it away. Amen. Nobody's going to come into your world and disprove the fact that you have an understanding of who Jesus Christ is.
Amen.
I heard it. Watch what he says in verse 1. He says, and that which was from the beginning, they've been challenged.
Mm-hmm.
They've been challenged. Which we have heard. Okay? We heard. We listened to him. We listened to him talk. We listened to him explain who he was and why he came. We heard. And not only that, people say, well, that's not enough. Well, it's never going to be enough, but John keeps going.
Amen.
John keeps going. And he said, not only that, we have seen with our own eyes. Not some vision.
Mm-hmm.
Not some thought, you know, and Stevie Wonder hasn't seen anything, but he can say, well, you know, I've seen it in my mind. That's not what he's talking about. They said, we have seen the Messiah, the Christ, with our own eyes. There's some great testimony here. If you get called to court and as a witness, and they're going to ask you, what do you know? What have you heard? And then they may, what have you seen? And they want to know what you're seeing. This is why when you come out with cameras everywhere, that kind of testimony is undeniable. If they have you on camera doing something crazy, it's hard to beat that. It's hard to beat that when they got you on camera. Look, some people, you see them looking at the cameras. Okay? They robbing a bank and they looking at the cameras. Don't act like they don't even know they're there. But here's what John is saying. He says, and we, let me tell you who the we is. Those are the other apostles.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the other apostles.
Amen.
Okay? One of the evidence that you was truly apostle, that you were an apostle, is that you had to see the Lord. Okay?
Amen.
You had to see the Lord. Ain't nobody seeing him today.
What
John is trying to do here with these folks, he's trying to be convincing. One of the things they used to tell us in cemetery is try to make the people believe that they're there. If you talk, preach a sermon on the mount, try to preach it in a way like they at the Sermon on the Mount. You want to make the scriptures so believable. So believable. You want to make people feel like they're in the upper room if you preach it on the upper room. You want to make them feel like they sitting there on the grass when Jesus told the story of how he fed the 5,000. You want to make it as real as possible because that was their job. And these folks were being questioned. Their faith was being questioned. And most likely folks might have been falling away, different things like that, because a lot of folks just can't take the heat.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of folks can't take the word of God being criticized because they don't have the answers. They can't defend it. John is saying, we have seen him. Not only have we heard him, he said, we have seen him. Then he says, with our own eyes. Nobody told us this. Nobody told us this. We seen him with our own eyes. And then he goes a little further in verse number 1 of 1 John. He says, not only have we heard him, not only have we seen him with our own eyes, then he says, which have looked upon him. They looked at him. They studied him. They examined him. Okay? You ever talk to somebody and then somebody be there staring at you? You talking and they just staring at you in a daze. Okay? Imagine that. These apostles, imagine being in the presence of God. They're in the presence of God. And they looking upon him. That's almost a look of reverence. Mm-hmm. And then he says, our hands have handled. Jesus was physical. Jesus was touchy. You know, people are touchy-feely. Jesus liked to touch people. He touched people. He healed a lot of people with a touch, but his touch was magnificent.
Amen.
Imagine being touched by Jesus. Imagine being handled by Jesus. Why would they want to touch him? Think about it. Why would they want to touch him? Just to see if he's real. See what he feels like. See if he see what that divinity feels like. Okay? Why would else they want to touch him? Just to make sure he's real. His God stepped out of heaven. We've heard him. We've seen him with our own eyes. We looked upon him. And they want to just touch him. Just touch him. There's something powerful in the touch. That's why when I think about this whole pandemic, they don't want to touch nobody. Don't want to shake nobody's hand. Can't get nobody a hug. That's difficult. That's difficult. Okay? Because we touchy feeling. It's just natural to shake somebody's hand or get somebody a hug. How many of us have reached out to shake somebody's hand and they pulled back? Or we normally people that we would see, we haven't seen them while we want to give them a hug and we pulled back. How about that? Not healthy. That's not healthy. But there was a certainty of what these disciples was trying to do. They wanted to make sure that people knew that they had a personal relationship with a living God. You've been there? I've been there. I love the scriptures. Here's one. Here's Peter, one of the disciples. Constantly questioned about Peter, did you really walk on water? Peter, was you there at the transfiguration? Peter, I mean, you imagine every time Peter talked, somebody questioned him. Because unbelief will always question belief. An unbeliever will do everything he can. He's got to disprove you. If he can't disprove you, then he's convicted. So it's easier to try to disprove someone. And I imagine Peter was always being questioned. Because he was a great preacher of the gospel once God had this encounter with God. Here's Peter being questioned. And Peter wrote this in 2 Peter 1:16. Because he's been questioned. Peter says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were, here we go, eyewitnesses of his majesty. Mm-hmm. How about that? Peter said, I'm not playing. I was there in the day of transfiguration. Peter was God's right-hand man. He was there. He was in God's inner circle. And folks wanted to question Peter because they can prove Peter wrong. If they can prove Peter wrong, they can disprove the whole Bible. And God had warned Peter. What did God say to Peter? He said, Peter, I love you. Everybody know you're going to be mighty in the kingdom. But then God said this to Peter. Jesus said this to Peter. Peter, he said, Satan desires to sift you like wheat. Okay? Because if he can bring Peter down, he can bring down some of the truths of God. Mm-hmm. It's like God, in a family. You know, maybe Satan can't get to the father. Maybe he can't get through the mother. Maybe he can't get through the daughter. Maybe he can get through the daughter through the mother. Maybe he can get through the father through the son. But Satan ain't never going to stop. He's not going to stop. And Peter always had an answer. When Peter got done with the denial three times, he was a whole different man. Even at the day of Pentecost, Peter led it and preached. And they said he drunk. They always mess with Peter. Watch what John says in John 1:14. Gospel of John, because Jesus was even questioned. And Jesus says this. He said, and the Word was made flesh. Watch this. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And here we go. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and mercy. Full of grace and mercy. John 4:14. Here's John again being questioned. You're going to be questioned. You ought to have an answer. It's important that we have an answer. And this is one of the reasons why we teach so hard and we want to teach the gospel so hard. I don't want you to have a song all the time. It's good to have a song, but it's better to have a word. Amen. It's better to have a word. I was listening in Sunday school this morning, and Sylvia's sister would say something, and Sylvia put a word on it, or vice versa. Make a word on that. That's your reasonable service. That's your reasonable service. How about this one? 1 John 4:14. Here's John being given assurance and power to these people. And he says, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Now that's getting stronger. And hopefully we'll get down, if they don't shut everything down, we'll get to 1 John 4 and 14 and we'll talk about this verse. But here's Peter pushing the pencil a little more. He said, you can stand me before the highest courts in the land. How about that? How's your faith? John says, you can stand me and an apostles in front of the highest courts in the land. And here's what we will do. We will testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. You know what? We got folks today in Christianity that don't want nothing to do with Jesus. And I'm gonna tell you something. When time these revolution goes on and the Black Lives Matter people and the Marxists and they people gonna be pushing away from Jesus. People going, already folks don't want to have nothing to do with Jesus because, well, you know, you serving the white Jesus and you serving the white Jesus and he kept you in bondage and they get ready to tear all the churches. It could happen. And we can come out here and the church be torn down because they ain't getting ready to come after these churches. And folks are backing away from Jesus. I dare you do. I pray that you guys don't stand for him. Stand for Jesus. And this is what John is saying to these people. They're going to come at you. They're going to constantly come at you. And I'm just like you guys. There comes times in my life where I can stand for Jesus and I don't. Don't think y'all by yourself. Okay? Mm-hmm. I'm a man just like you. And it ain't easy all the time to testify of who Jesus is. But the Bible says here in John 4:14 says, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And I'm going to tell you something. All you guys in here, everybody in this room have seen the goodness of God.
Amen.
Everybody in here maybe haven't seen it with your own eyes, like, but you've seen him work in your lives.
Amen.
And many of us can say, I am only here because of the goodness and the grace and the mercy of God. We've all done enough.
Amen.
We all done enough. We've all drove by some folks flying down the road drunk. And it's only by God's grace that we didn't go through the intersection at the time they was coming. We just don't know. One day we will. One day we will. They had to prove it. Watch this, though. Let me go back to verse 2. Watch this. Because they give Jesus a name. So we got a lot of names for Jesus. Anybody ever thought the title of Jesus, one of his titles is eternal life? One of the great reasons why Jesus came to this earth, really the number one reason why he came to this earth. What is it? So that we would have eternal life. He didn't come to this earth so us to live our best life now. So he had all the things in the world and all the toys and all the gadgets and everything. He came so that we can have eternal life.
Amen.
See, and Satan's job is to get us so focused on this life that we forget about eternal life. But the real hope of the believer is found in eternity.
Amen.
Eternity. You know, we put more effort and more energy in planning to go out to dinner than we do in all our plans to go to heaven.
Amen.
Okay, imagine if you was making plans to go to heaven. Some of us have been on vacations. I remember back when when Cindy and I would take the kids to Myrtle Beach and we go to Florida. This was some planning. It took some planning. We had to make sure we had the hotel, we made sure we had enough, the car was running good, get the tires in, and all kind of stuff. We still would break down. We get home because God is good.
Amen.
Okay? Well, we made a lot of plans, and we had to go down there. We had to stay. We had all our family. We had all Cindy's brothers and sisters, and we had all the kids. Okay? Now, think about that trip. Tell me how good God is. I don't know if I told y'all this story. I got Karina here. Karina and my other niece, Brianna. Where was he at? Myrtle Beach, Florida. She don't want to say. She don't go swimming no more, though. So me and my brother-in-law, we jokesters. Big Steve come here all the time. We jokesters. So Karina and Brianna jump in the water. And they jump in the deep water. I didn't know it was deep. And I look over, and they got hands coming up. Hand come up. And me and Steve like, what the little jokers over there playing around? And I'm sitting here, and it was going on for a little while. They had my hand go up, 400. And they start screaming. And I was like, look at them. They really playing this out. They weren't playing. My other nephew jumped in and got him out. But they, you know, they were serious. That was it. I don't know how that got in the story, but Jesus' name was Eternal Life. His name is Eternal Life. Now watch the verse. Watch the verse. He says, verse 2, 1 John. I'm going to take my time going through this. I'm not going to rush. He said, for the life was manifested. The life was manifested, meaning what? Made plain for all to see. Okay? He stepped out of glory. He stepped and put on his flesh. And was the life was made manifested. Watch this now. And we have seen it. They keep going back to this because they've been questioning about it. And we have seen it, and we bear witness, and we show unto you, watch this now, that eternal life. That's part of what they heard. That's part of what they heard. Jesus came, just like he told Nicodemus. He says, for God so loved the world, Nicodemus, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, And believeth is a word that's present tense. Right now. It don't mean, well, you know, I believe. No, right now. I believe that believeth in him, that's right now, should not perish. But have what? Everlasting life. Eternal life. Jesus came to give us eternal life. Watch how Peter says it in Acts 2:32. He says, in Jesus have God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. What's the point of him being raised up? He had to be raised up. If he's not raised up, guess what we don't have? Eternal life. Eternal life. Okay? If God is not raised up, we don't have eternal life. So this verse would mean nothing in John 14:6 when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That wouldn't be necessary because if he's not raised, we don't raise. And if he don't raise, we don't have eternal life. We just going to stay in the grave. We're going to stay in the grave. So we can sit here and think about it. The title of Jesus is Eternal Life because that's what he came for. See, we get caught up in the miracles and the healings and the prosperity and all the supernatural and natural things that the Bible wrote about. But what did it write? What did it write all those things about? Margaret, you know, to authenticate, to prove that he truly was eternal life. When they came to John, when John was in prison and he was about to get his head cut off, John had all the confidence in the world, John the Baptist, that he could have got out of that prison. He sent his people to Jesus and said, go to him and make sure he is the one. Okay? And when his disciples got to Jesus, Jesus put on a show, did all kinds of miracles, healed the lame, opened blind eyes, raised the dead. He proved in them. People back to John and said, John, he the one. You can die in peace. Your work is done. Your work is done. He is truly the one to come into the world to die for our sins. What a wonderful story. What a wonderful story. Let's keep going a little bit. I don't know how much I'm going to get through. Look at verse 3. Watch this again. Same theme. What's the theme? Now that you sit here and listen to me for a little while, you know what the theme is? The disciples always had to constantly prove Jesus was real. Okay? How do we prove Jesus real? How do we prove Jesus is real in our lives? Think about that. What's the easiest way to prove Jesus is real? When we walk with him, when we have fellowship with him, okay? People ought to see Amen. Jesus in our lives. Amen. It ought to resonate from our behavior, from the way we talk and the things that we watch and the things that we laugh about and how we handle adversity and how we handle trials and how we forgive and how we love. Those are the evidence that we are in a relationship with Jesus.
Amen.
And John says, in verse 3 of 1 John, he said, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. You know, so it would be hard for us to have a fellowship with some unsaved folks there. Imagine some folks came in here and constantly sitting in the back. And this is what the black Hebrew Israelites do. They'll come into a church service and they'll start mocking the preacher as he's preaching and talking about, well, you don't believe in that Jesus and Jesus. No, no. What kind of fellowship would that be? Terrible. Terrible. It can get bad enough when the kids all get to going. Okay? Back when we had Von Von, and then all the kids would be just, you know, they ain't here to fellowship. They here because we brought them. They ain't in the fellowship mode yet. Okay?
Amen.
All right. And they used to get loud. But my point is, what John is saying, he says, and we have seen and heard and declare unto you that ye may also have fellowship with us. What John was trying to explain to them, I want y'all to know about this Jesus and love him like I love him. And if you love him like I love him, and if you love him like we love him, we can have a great fellowship. Some of our greatest fellowships is with people who believe like we do. You can have family members, people that you love in your family, but you really don't have a good, deep, spiritual fellowship with them because you can't really talk about the things of God with them. You know what I mean? We can talk about other stuff. Oh, yeah, we can talk about when we was kids and when we were here and we did this. But when you start talking about spiritual things, that pool gets real small, don't it, Jay? We can go to work. I can go out my job and talk to people about the things of God. I mean, excuse me, about the Browns and the Steelers. And we talk about, you know, the pandemic. And we can talk about all this rioting. And we can have, but when you start, when you say, hey, let's talk about Jesus. Let's talk about Jesus. And folks start leaving the room. We want to talk about Jesus. So we come in here on Wednesday nights, we come in here on Sundays, and we with some folks, we can talk about Jesus.
Amen.
We can laugh and we can talk and we can examine the scriptures and we can question one another and we can have a really good time because we got a glorious fellowship. We got a glorious fellowship. And that's what John is saying. That's what he is teaching in this lesson. He says, that which we have seen and heard declare unto you. And then declare unto you means I'm preaching to you. That's another word for preaching, making a declaration. We are preaching unto you. Why, John? That ye also may have fellowship with us. Why? Because it was precious to John. It was precious to John. I think we've missed that. When they start talking about shutting the churches down, listen, let me tell you something. It's hard to fellowship in a car. It's hard to shut fellowship in a driveway, in a parking lot. It's hard to fellowship on Zoom. It is. And when they shut all these churches down, I just believe there's some more to it than the pandemic.
Amen.
Okay? It's more to it. Stay. One more time with this verse. Because this is one of the most difficult verses. When I looked through all 10 of them, I said, this is one here, a little difficult. But God's clearing it up. He said, that which we have seen with our own eyes and heard, declare we unto you, why, Paul, John, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Fellowship was precious. Fellowship was precious to John, and he wanted to make it precious to the people he was talking to and he was preaching to. And our fellowship ought to be precious to us. It ought to be precious to us. John, remember the story of Abraham? God had came to Abraham. He was telling Sarah, you're going to have a baby this time. Next year, Sarah started laughing. Okay? Then the story went on and on, and they was having a great fellowship. They was talking about everything. I imagine Abraham was talking about all the wonderful things that God had done. And then the angels was there to do something else. And the angels was like, I don't know if I need to tell John this, but because the fellowship was so good, the angel stopped. And the angel represented God. And the whole relationship that God had with Abraham was wonderful. What did God say? And he said he called Abraham his friend. He said, Abraham said, I am a friend of God. See, we take that word friend. We take that word friend and we cheapen it. We cheapen it. You know, listen. I have 4,800 friends. No, I don't. I don't know none of them folks. Okay? My friendship with them is just harassing them. but we take that word friend and we cheapen it. And if I go around the room and say, how many friends you got? If I say, Kenny, how many friends you got? He found out. And I go say, Ray, how many friends you got? Everybody in here probably be under five. Amen. Ain't that something? Ain't that something? But Abraham was a friend of God, and God had a glorious fellowship with Abraham. And watch what he writes in Genesis 18:17, because he was getting ready to destroy Sodom. And he couldn't leave without telling Abraham because of their closeness. And he says in 18:17 of Genesis, he said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing that I do? How about that? And we know because of that conversation he had with Abraham, and then Abraham started doing it. Me and Michaela was doing this yesterday because she picked up. You know, people really picked up on my sermon yesterday and today. And we said, you know what? And Abraham said, will you save Sodom if there's 50 good people? Now, so some of y'all don't realize Sodom was 3-4 million people at that time. And Abraham started at 50. He says, will you save Sodom if there's 50? And Abraham knew how evil Sodom was. Then Abraham, and God said, yeah, I'll save Abraham. I'll save Sodom if there's 50. And Abraham said, will you save Sodom if there's 40? God said, yeah, Abraham, what kind of relationship is this? I mean, this is one-on-one, and this is good. And Abraham is working this thing. He said, oh, I got favor. And he knew it was wicked. Remember, Abraham had to go and save Sodom. And he knew the king, and the king was wicked. The king said, you know, you can have all the stuff, all the goodies, but let me have the souls of the people. And Abraham, and this is what enhanced his relationship. See, we take money from anybody. See, we want a handout. Let me tell y'all something. Y'all get these government handouts. These ain't free. Amen. Okay, I want my stimulus check. Okay. All right. You keep on taking from the government. Ain't nothing free. Mm-hmm. So Abraham told the king. See, Abraham, when you a son of God, you can talk to the king. Abraham said, listen, king, I'm not taking nothing from you. I'm not taking nothing from you, okay? Because I don't want you going back and saying that Abraham, a friend of God, took anything from you. How about that? Then Abraham got back to the story and said, what about this 30? He said, what about this 30? God said, I'll save him for 30. Abraham said, what about 20? 20, I'll save him. I think then he counted up his family that was there. He said, what about 10? How many people left Sodom? How many people left Sodom? Lot, his wife, 2 daughters. How many made it out of Sodom? 3. 2 million people. Now think about that. Think about Youngstown. Think about the whole Mahoney Valley. I don't like think about it. Is there 10? I'm going. Look at number 4. Here's 4, verse number 4. Let me see where I'm at. I I ain't gonna keep y'all like I did last week. I felt bad. I kept y'all 65 minutes. Amen. Kiers, I'm glad I wasn't here 65 minutes. No. Look. Fullness of joy. We got fullness of joy. When we come to God's house, when we come into a relationship with God, this is why people don't understand. The true Christian, like I said, we know we all going through. We all got stuff going on in our life. Okay? But what's going on the outside don't affect what's going on the inside. Okay? We got stuff. All of us in here. Ain't nobody here without issues and the life issues. But this joy I have. And I'm talking to the believer. The man or woman of God, the child of God. Because some of us in that age group now, in the Jewish economy, what, 13? Bar mitzvah, 13? You were considered an adult at 13? All right? So let it fall where it needs to fall. Okay, but this joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. And the dentist can't take it away, can he? See what I'm saying? Now Mary say, you picking on me today. Well, no, I'm not. I just know you've been through some stuff. Okay? And Sylvia been through some stuff, and Hazel been through some stuff, and Toya been through some stuff, and Ann's been through some stuff, and Vaughn and Ray, and everybody in this room.
Amen.
This little girl we have with us, that we have her with us for the weekend, her name is Honesty. Been through some stuff. Okay? But John is writing about God stepping out of heaven, putting on flesh, and coming to die for our sins that we can have eternal life. And John writes this. And he says, "And these things write we unto you." Get an understanding of the scripture. Get an understanding of what God has done. Get an understanding of the peace and the joy that comes with serving God. I'm as happy as a lark. I love serving God. I thank God for even giving me the energy to serve. I love it. I listen. I love it. Okay? And I find my joy in coming in and preparing messages and Bible studies and being with the people of God. It's just a joy and a blessing. And I understand. I can understand. I can relate to this verse easily. He says, "In these things write we unto you." Why, John? Why are you writing these things? Because these people weren't experiencing the joy that they should have. And as Christians, there's a joy that we have to experience. There's a joy that we have to experience. You can't serve God and be stressed out and under anxiety and worrying about everything. And then going to, walking to your job, walking into school, walking into, I'm blessed and highly favored and just stressed out about everything. The two don't go together. Okay? You can't worry and praise God at the same time. And God wants our joy to be full.
Amen.
And he said, "These things I write unto you." Why, John? "That your joy may be full." Mm-hmm. What a strong word. Not that your joy may be okay. You know, you talk to some Christian, "How you doing today?" "I'm all right. It's okay. It's just another day." It's so sad. Talk to people like that. I'm not the only one. You see somebody, "Hey, how you doing?" "I'm okay. I'm all right." Say, folks, speaking tongues and stuff, leaving all that. That's everything. "How you doing today?" "I'm okay." Huh? You got another day. You got another day on this earth where you can tell your children, your grandbaby, "I got another day. I can take Michaela and give her a hug. She's not used to getting hugged, so I punch her. But I got another opportunity to do that. I got a Maya walking around.
Amen.
Another day where I can harass some people." That's something to be joyful about. Because we all have different love languages. We have different ways we communicate. "I got another opportunity. I can sit here and pour in the rain. Some more. A little bit more. Give some more. Hey, look. This is how I do it. Watch me. Watch me. Watch me." He's been watching me for 20 years. Like a movie to him. Turn on dad. See what he's doing. Oh, he working. Watch. John wrote this again. He wrote it in the Gospel of John. He said, "These things have I spoken unto you." Why? That my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. John 15:11. You know what he just had wrote? He had just preached a sermon to these people. He said, "I am the vine and you are the branches. And every vine that remains in me shall be what? Full and plump and prosperous. And all the wind and the rain, the branches been falling down. And you know, I go pick them up, they dry it away. They dry it away. They dry right out. Once they remove from that source of life, from that vine, or what did it happen? They dry right out. They dry right out. The leaves wither all up. You know they dead. No life in them. Make sure you stay connected. Amen. Make sure you stay connected. John 16:24, Jesus was still talking because this was important to him. And I think we lose sight of this and we don't have the things that we should have. And I'm not talking about material things. And I know Jesus is not talking about material things. He's not materialistic. But he says this in John 16:24. He says, "Have you asked nothing in my name?" And he says this, "Ask and you shall receive." Okay? "Ask and you shall receive." What? "That your joy may be full." Ask and you shall receive. No, 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 I'm just asking God. You know, don't be like Sylvia and that's asking for $1 million and on, you know, all that. I don't already know what she's thinking. She like, "I need a super credit card." Okay? But y'all know what I mean. I can mess with her, but I know where her heart at. Listen, what do we want? Peace. We want the joy of salvation. We want love. We want God's mercy. Not only sometimes for us, sometimes we need to pray for other people. "That your joy may be full." That your joy may be full. Listen to this verse here, 2 John. We'll get to that. He said, having many things to write unto you. Now, this is interesting because somebody brought it up this morning about Zoom and all that, Skype and Zoom and all this text and stuff. Some people text me Happy Father's Day. I'm not seeing that for a month. I don't even, you know, I'm not seeing that. You can't call me and say Happy Father's Day. Don't text me because I'm 4 days later, I see where somebody had texted me Happy Father's Day. It don't mean nothing. Father's Day over. Call me that morning and say Happy Father's Day. Okay? Watch this. "Having many things to write unto you," he said, "I would not write with paper and ink." Okay? Watch this. "But I trust to come unto you." Paul wanted to see these people, or John wanted to see these people. He had gave it the first message. He wanted to see them. You ever texting with somebody all the time? Texting them all the time. You ain't seen them in months. And then when you see them, ain't that something different? Ain't that something special? You ain't seen your little nephew. You ain't seen little Julio and all this time. And you texting him, he texting you, and you on FaceTime and Skype and all that. But when you get to see him, ain't nothing like it, is it? There ain't nothing like it. See, we think all this stuff is new. All this technology is new. No, watch what Paul says. He said, "Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you." Why, Paul? "And speak to you face to face." Face to face. Give you a kiss. Give you a hug. Here's what he says. "That our joy may be full." How about that? How about that? What's your joy for? Let me give you a couple more verses on your joy being full. Then I'm gonna pick this up next week. I just don't want to overwhelm you because it just takes off. Peter couldn't even explain the joy that he had. How about that? He couldn't even explain it because when Peter came to the understanding of who Jesus was and what God had done for him, he couldn't even explain his joy. What kind of joy is that? You know what Peter calls it? Joy unspeakable. Yeah. He called it joy unspeakable. And he's trying to relate this. He said, you ain't seen nothing yet. See, Peter says in 1 Peter 1a, he said, in whom having not seen. He said, I've seen him, but I want y'all to understand this. And have not seen, you love. In whom though now you see him not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable. That's what we got to look forward to. That's what we have to look forward to. And it ought to be already in our heart. We start talking about the things of God and what God has done, and we take a list of it. Some of us need to just take the time today. We got plenty of time. You got these phones. They got all kind of little notes on these phones. Just start writing down all the wonderful things God has done. Just start writing them down. It ain't got to be big things. Just write them down. Start off as young as you can and start writing down all the wonderful things God has blessed you with. And then on the other side, write down some of the negative stuff. The list would be overwhelming, all the wonderful things he's done. There would only 4 or 5 things maybe come up on that other list. Okay? But on the other side, think about it. I can sit here and my list would be so long. So long. God has been with me for so long. And I'm talking about some stuff he didn't save me from.
Amen.
See, y'all, you got cars. I'm not talking about cars. I'm talking about stuff he didn't got me out of. Okay? I'm talking about times that he showed up when I wasn't prepared. Amen. To handle a situation, God showed up.
Amen.
Okay? Those are the stuff, those are the things that would be on my list. Paul writing to the Ephesians, and I'm going to give you 2 more verses and I'm going to close. Paul writing to the Ephesians, and I was talking to somebody, and everybody wants to, we got to open up the world, we got to open up the country, so we got to get these bars open and these football stadiums open and these sports bars and casinos. And I thought about the scripture, y'all know how I spiritualize everything. Paul said, be not drunk with wine. So I don't hear nobody beating down. We need to open up these churches.
Uh-huh.
You know? I don't hear the big time preachers. That's some big time preachers got 20,000 members, 30,000 members. I don't see them nowhere talking about we need to open up these churches. Roger Goodell and all the NFL, and hey, we got to open up these football stadiums. But I don't hear Joel Osteen or T.D. Jakes nowhere talking about we need to open up these churches. I'm not hearing it. I'm looking for it too. Because these are the heavy movers. They're the ones who be speaking now. They got the platform. I wish I had a platform. They got platform. They can call CNN or Fox News and say, I want to give you my perspective on everything. I'm not seeing that. I'm not. The absence is scary. Okay? Paul says, be not drunk with wine wherein excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And if you stay out of church, and you stay out of the Word of God, and you stay out of fellowship with believers, and you stay out of praying, let me tell you something. It's going to weaken you.
Amen.
It's going to weaken you.
Amen.
And you're going to start falling back. And y'all hear what I say all the time, 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, he's not running to the front of the pack. He's not trying to show off his speed. He's not saying, you know what? I could take these little does or whatever, little deers just in the back, antelopes, whatever. I can get the little wounded ones, but I want to show everybody how fast I am. I want to go to the front of the pack. The lions don't think like that. They say, I'm going to get this one here that ain't been to church, been on Zoom. somebody on Zoom, got a coffee and a sandwich, get up, go to the microwave, go to the bathroom, you on Zoom, you hear toilet flush in the background. Because you're getting weaker. And this, like I said, the governor of Illinois said, we ain't going to have church in Illinois till 2021.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I'm sitting here, let me tell you, okay? I'm not making anybody come. But long as the doors is open, I'm going to be here.
Amen.
I'm going to be here.
Amen.
Again, get behind me, Satan. I'm going to be here.
All right.
Okay. Now, the God of hope, Romans 15 and 13, I'm closing. Now, the God of hope, what a wonderful name. What a wonderful name. I just love how Paul talks about the things of God. Y'all hear me? Y'all know I can preach Paul every Sunday. I know y'all like, hell yeah, I know he's going to preach something. He can't go a Sunday without saying John 3:16 or the Apostle Paul. Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If y'all hear, if I do come to church and don't mention Paul or John 3:16, guess what? Maybe too much Zoom. Okay? Now here's Paul in Romans 15, 13. Now the God of hope. Huh? Now the God of hope. Fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Watch this. That you may abound in hope. Paul didn't want you to just have some hope. He wanted you to abound in hope. He wanted your hope to be huge.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted you to have huge hope. And what's this hope he's talking about? He's not talking about the hope of this world. He's talking about the hope of one day leaving this world and going on to glory. Where you see the Lord face to face. Now let me read it again with that perspective. Now the God of hope. There ain't no hope in this world.
Amen.
There ain't no hope in Satan. There ain't no hope in serving the devil. There ain't no hope in it. There's only one source of hope.
Amen.
One source of hope. Source of hope. And he says, Paul calls him the God of hope.
Amen.
The God of hope. Fill you with all joy and peace in believing. You ain't getting it without believing. See, we didn't even have hope without believing. You know, we didn't hope without believing. No, no. Hope comes with believing. And then you will abound in hope.
Mm-hmm.
Hope just pouring off you. People will be calling you hope. Every time they see you, they see hope. They see hope. Watch this. He said, how do you get it, Paul? How do you get it? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. Through the power of the Holy Ghost. Well, how do you get the Holy Ghost? How do you get the Holy Ghost? Whosoever believeth.
Whosoever
believeth. You believe, you get the Holy Ghost. You ain't got to do nothing else. Don't listen to these folks. Well, you know, the only way, you know, the evidence of you getting the Holy Ghost, the evidence of you getting the Holy Ghost is that you believe.
Amen.
The evidence of you getting the Holy Ghost is not you speaking in gibberish. And running around doing cartwheels and backflips. Let me tell you something. You get the Holy Ghost when you believe.
Amen.
You believe. And you get the Holy Ghost. How about that? It ain't that simple. It ain't that hard. Folks make it hard to get saved. You got to do this. And you got to give all your money. And you got to speak in tongues. And you got to, you got to believe. Watch this. Watch this. For God so loved the world.
Mm-hmm.
That he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth in him. In him. Should not perish but have everlasting life, eternal life. Listen. There ain't nothing in that. There ain't nothing. No tricks you got to do. No amount of money you can give. Okay. You ain't got to come to church every Sunday. Listen, all you have to do is believe.
Mm-hmm.
And your believing to take care of all the other stuff.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Your believing to stop you from doing some stuff.
Amen.
Okay? You ain't got to, well, you know, if you could become a Christian, you can't watch TV, you can't golf, you can't fish, you can't, you, no, no, no. You believe in God to take care of the rest.
Amen.
Okay? Okay? Because there may be somebody at the lake that you need to talk to. And he may make you one of the great fishermen. He may give you 8 fishing boats so you can become a cruise person up in Lake Erie so you can run into a lot of people. I don't know. Okay? God's ways ain't ours. But Paul says he is the God of hope.
Amen.
I like that. He is the God of hope. Watch, and I'm going to close. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brother, that you are also full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and also able also to admonish one another. I'm close. I didn't get as far as I wanted to, but that's not my issue. How's your hope? Is Jesus the word of life? How about that? How's your fellowship? The writer of Hebrews said, we ought not to what? Forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some. Why? Because it's that important. It's that important. Call these folks up. Talk to them. Talk to them. Make sure we call Claire. Make sure we check on Blanche and Rita and Christine and the folks that ain't here. Check on them. Call them. Call them. Somebody said that morning, that's your reasonable service.
Yes.
Okay. We ain't that busy. Amen. Precious Lord, we thank you this morning. Thank you for being the word of life. Thank you for being eternal life. Thank you for giving us a desire to fellowship. Thank you for everybody that's here this morning. May their joy be full. May their joy be full. May their joy be full. We thank you in Jesus' name.